Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant, Danny, 106. Seven the Fan, welcome back in, and thanks as always for making the show part of your day. So much to get into before 2 o'clock, including a conversation with our pal Alan May of NBC Sports Washington on Alex Ovechkin. May will be on the show at one, the big one today. Ovechkin last night scoring the 600th goal of his career, fourth fastest ever to do it. Only 20 players have ever accomplished the feat. You know, it's amazing, Danny. Couple more years under contract in D.C., 32 years old. 700 is absolutely going to happen. And the question is, how many more goals than that will we see?
It's in the realm. And again, I just think back a couple years ago when we were like, okay, well, you know, now he's gone from MVP candidate every year. He should be again this year, by the way, but not being talked about, which is frustrating to me. Went from MVP candidate, okay, useful forward. It's probably 25 to 30 goals from here on out as he sort of heads downhill on the twilight of his career. North of 40 goals once again, right back up there with an outside shot at 50 in an era where nobody's doing that. He is not slowing down. He's got, hopefully, a couple more years at this kind of production left. It really is amazing.
Danny,
really is amazing.
I got hot off the presses, a little Schefter report for you. NFL free agency, how about this? Former Lions D-tackle Haloti Ngata intending to sign a one-year deal with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Come on!
Are you kidding me with this defensive line? Haloti Ngata to the Eagles to join Timmy Jernigan, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox. They draft Barnett last year.
Sucks.
This is the second nice addition they've made this offseason on their D-line. The rich getting richer. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend, by the way, like Haloti Ngata is still on top of the market at D-tackle.
No one's saying he's the guy that bent Robert Griffin's knee in the incorrect direction. What I am saying is another useful piece for a group that understands what this league is right now. Defensive lineman, please. Just please do this. Please do this. Please do this. More defensive linemen at once. Draft more for 3 straight years. Acquired free agency. More of them.
You
all of them.
Be excited if the Redskins get 6 D linemen in their 7 rounds of the draft.
It's the only thing that matters. I don't care about anything else. I don't care if we win another game for the rest of my damn life. Please try it. Please try and address the defensive line. It's the only thing I care about.
Let's go
I'm
to
so
Greg
off.
In Percival wants to hop in.
Terrible
What's up,
mood.
Greg? How are you?
Danny, you're cracking me up, man. I'm with you with the line. Totally. But we're shouting to, you know, to nowhere. But anyway, I agree with most of what you guys said. I heard the interview yesterday with Friend, and, you know, I was a season ticket holder. I said last year, if they don't keep Cousins, if they get rid of McLuhan, I'm out. And I punched out after going to games since 69. Mm. And but the way you guys were saying it, kind of like the fan base, why are they, like, goose-stepping behind Snyder? I know a lot of Redskin fans. I tailgate a lot. 98% of the fan base hates Snyder, hates Allen. We're not drinking the Kool-Aid, so I just took a little bit of offense to that. Maybe I misheard you guys, but I don't think – I think there's a small portion of people that are saying – point. I think there's a huge chasm between Griffin and Cousins fans, and that there's a divide there.
Well,
like
Griffin fans, Greg, just need to get over it. It's been a few years. The guy's out of the league. He's playing basketball in Czechoslovakia or wherever he's playing back. Griffin couldn't be less relevant. So the chasm between Griffin fans and Cousins fans, it's over. Give up. It's done. That, to me, is irrelevant. My point is not that most Redskins fans feel this way. What I'm saying is that there is a loud minority, yes, but growing collection of people who are not just saying, hey, this is a good thing the Redskins moved on. Which, by the way, what's comical is I don't know how much people actually listen to the words that we say. Supposedly, we cape for Kirk Cousins, and I love Kirk Cousins, and I'm going to move to Minnesota with him, and all these stupid things that are said. Never once have I advocated for signing this guy at the amount of money it would take. In fact, I've said do the opposite. I said to trade him last offseason.
Yeah, I wanted to trade him.
So that to me is what's funny. That is a real conversation that we don't get to have nearly as often as we should. But you shouldn't pay Kirk Cousins close to $30 million. Now, I've always said I thought you could get a deal done closer to 27 or 28, which, by the way, is what he's going to end up signing with Minnesota. There's a report right now from, among other people, Ian Rappaport saying the Vikings are in the driver's seat, that he's hearing it's about $28 million per year. I think, in the end, today or tomorrow, Cousins is going to sign 3 years, $28 million, fully guaranteed. At whatever that is. I think it's around $84 million, something like that. That, to me, is probably what's going to happen with the Vikings. I'd be shocked if it doesn't happen before tomorrow or sometime early tomorrow. But the point is, what I'm calling out is different than that. I'm calling out people who basically now, because their feelings got hurt and or they're upset that this guy's leaving, you've got this sledgehammer piece done by way of Doug Williams yesterday where you're questioning a dude's character who's been nothing but classy to this organization publicly.
So for me, I understand fans being angry and jilted and irritated and frustrated. We're all working back from a place of failure. We're talking about the Redskins, 26 years of failure. They've won 10 games just a handful of times, 9 games a couple more times. Very, you know, I think it's what, 19 of the 26 years they finished last in the division, whatever the numbers are. They've been an embarrassment. They've been the East Coast Raiders. They've been on the par with the Lions and the Browns. They've been closer to them than they have the elite. I understand we're all mad. We're all pissed off. We're all sick of it. We're all tired. So I understand fans having emotions. What I can understand is those fans and their emotions, right? Okay, we got that. I'm emotional too. The next step is saying, yeah, it's the player's fault, or yeah, it's McLuhan's fault, or yeah, it's this organization. What are the constants? It's Dan and a crony doing the wrong thing, doing the classless thing, ending it in a giant, messy divorce where everyone has to go to court and they go to the doctor to get their skivvies checked out. I don't understand how you could ever give the benefit of the doubt to the organization that has given you all the pain. They're the ones that serve the pain and ask you to pay more for it to park. They're the ones that tell you you can't walk from the metro stop. They're the ones that jack up the fees, that have the long security lines, that don't do diddly end or squat for their fans. They're the ones that sued the newspaper, that sued the fan base when they couldn't pay their outrageous season ticket prices. They're the ones that put mediocrity on the field. They're the ones that have the embarrassing endings. Each player, each individual time, you could nitpick a scenario. Well, hey, maybe the Kirk Cousins should have done more. And that's a reasonable discussion, by the way. How could you ever default to the organization that bones you at every turn and loves doing it and is so excited? They rally their base with these kind of stupid, pedantic, pat-on-the-head moves, and you fall for it so many times over. That's what bewilders me. As a lifelong fan of this team that wants them to win so badly, it hurts. It aches in my soul. I want them to win more than anything on this planet. We just disagree about how. Those disagreements are great. Let's have those conversations. The vocal points that you're talking about, the people of this fan base, they cannot seem to grasp the idea that the constants that remain as the players and coaches and front office members come and go and come and go, there is one constant that remains, and it's the organization doing this kind of business. How could you ever, ever default to not blaming them 100%?
Well, and my point is not you should always blame them and they're evil and they're the big bad wolf because they sued that lady that one time. My point is just if you don't understand how this always seems to happen, that the player leaves and eventually we just decide that, well, maybe the team was right. Or it's not always a player. It might be Mike Shanahan. It might be Scott McLuhan. But we all rally behind the fact that the bad guy's gone and this will be different. And it's just funny that we repeat it all the time and the benefit of the doubt that's given to these decisions. Here's something that I found weird, by the way. I was looking up last night Bruce Allen's track record as the front office executive here with the Redskins. And on Pro Football Reference, where they go year by year with the executive win-loss record, they don't have 2015 and 2016 listed for Bruce Allen. So in Washington, they go 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014, and then they skip to 2017. They have him listed as EVP GM, then President GM, now President. But they didn't list 15 and 16 when the team had its two most productive seasons. Now, I know Scott McLuhan was the GM. But why wouldn't they list those? He still, at that point, was the team president, just like he was last year.
Very strange.
I mean, you've got to give him credit for those 2 years if you're going to crush him for 3 and 13, 4 and 12, 5 and 11, 6 and 10, all these other seasons. I don't understand why they're basically pretending like he wasn't with the organization for the two seasons when they went over 500.
Yeah, he was still calling shots there. He was influential, and he's done some good things.
He was
by the
team
way.
President.
Yeah.
It was his show largely. I think that's
weird. A weird bit.
I mean, if you're going to come down on him, you got to give him credit for the good times, too. Zach Reston, what's up?
Hey, guys. Can I read something right from the letter, just the very first sentence? So it says, obviously, after calling Washington home for the last 6 years, the team has decided to move on to another option. I mean, I'm still probably always going to be a fan of his, but it's since 2015, he has not wanted to be here. And I don't know. My whole opinion on him is kind of changed. Like I don't think he's as transparent, as quote unquote good of a guy as we think he is. I think he can be somewhat snarky, and I think we'll learn more, over time. But I think he's a little bit on the nastier side as well. I don't know. It's weird. My opinion of him has changed, I guess. I don't know.
Am I wrong in saying that Kirk Cousins said, well, he hung up. So there you go. Kirk Cousins said, as he wasn't going to negotiate with the team until March, that he wanted to test free agency, see what he was worth, and see if the Redskins made the best offer. Now, I don't say that the Redskins should have waited. I think they made the right decision.
I think they made a smart move, yeah.
But they did move on. They traded for Alex Smith. They made the decision based on not wanting to wait to see if Cousins would choose them over other teams.
That's kind of a moot point.
To go to Alex Smith.
It's a moot point to say, well, he wouldn't have had he given them the chance. His point is, and I think Cousins' point is here, we never got to that point we could have a conversation. They moved, and that's their prerogative. That's their right, as it was their right the previous 2 years to put the franchise tag on him. He's always said the ball's in their court, and they've done
right,
the way they've
done it. You're right, by the way. After a couple of years of the team not negotiating with him, he did stop negotiating with them as he got closer to free agency.
Absolutely did that.
No debt, no question. He wanted to test the market. That's what he wanted to do. They knew that, and they traded for another quarterback. They didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. But, I mean, if you say that makes him a quote-unquote a bad guy, okay, cool, man. I don't view it that way.
Snarky, I don't know if that's the right adjective.
Yeah, when someone wants to test the market, I would say, yeah, so do I. When my contract's up, I hope I have options too. And in the meantime, I'm going to say all the right things about my employer because I'm fine working here. But if I can do better somewhere else, if I can have a better chance at success, and oh, by the way, I might like the people I work for more, because at the end of the day, that was a big problem for Cousins, Allen, Snyder. I'm supposed to fault him for that? I wouldn't want to work for those two guys either. Brent and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. The NFL news keeps on coming. The 49ers are in agreement on a 5-year contract with offensive lineman Weston Richburg. He played with the New York Giants in the division, was one of their better linemen on a bad line last couple of years. So he'll be leaving the NFC East. San Francisco, things are looking up. This is their first move of the offseason to this point as far as a splash acquisition goes ahead of free agency. But they did sign to a deal already, Richard Sherman. Now, that may end up being worth about $39 million. They only guaranteed him $3 million. Looked like a really smart and savvy deal from John Lynch, who's making this GM thing look pretty easy so far.
All you got to do is broadcast a game or two for a couple years. Next thing you know, you walk into a front office and you start swindling people like Chicago and marquee free agents, apparently.
I pummeled that hiring, if you remember.
Yeah.
I thought, wait a second. What has John Lynch done to become qualified to be your general manager?
Apparently, you got to look awesome in a suit and shake some hands, kiss a couple babies. Next thing you know, you nail Jimmy Garoppolo. You get Richard Sherman and again, that fleece of a trade with Chicago.
I got another breaking deal for you with a guy that you know well from the NFC East. You remember Trey Burton? Little trick play at Super Bowl. Played quarterback, tossed a touchdown to Nick Foles. He's the tight end. It's been a pain in the Redskins' butt for Philadelphia. He is leaving the East to go to the NFC North.
Good.
Signing with the Chicago Bears.
He is open in the end zone right now against the Redskins.
4 years, $32 million is the agreement in place, reportedly, with Chicago.
Dude.
Like all of the contracts and news that we're pushing your way, these are just the reports that are out there. This is via, among other outlets, Adam Schefter. So Trey Burton, 4 years, $32 million to Chicago. That means the Bears have added Allen Robinson at wide receiver, Burton at tight end. There will no longer be the excuse for Mitchell Trubisky that he didn't have weapons.
Couple people reporting now. I see Rappaport, Mark Maskey's got this. Arrangements are looking like they're finalizing for Cousins to visit the Vikings on Wednesday, have some dinner, then Thursday is going to visit the facility. So it looks like that train is departing the track. So barring something unforeseen, it looks like they're courting each other. It looks good.
Let's go to Marcus in College Park on Grant and Danny. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I understand exactly where you're coming from, Danny, with that rant about the Eagles signing Holiato. I hope I said that right. But
hello,
here's the
Dinata.
Deal.
Hello, Dinata.
Thank you.
You got it.
There's the NFC champ, the Super Bowl champ, quietly getting better, while Washington's main front guy, that's supposed Doug Williams, is wasting time blowharding with Tom Friend. You've got Hall on the whoever will listen, degrading a player they don't even have control over. This team classically wastes time in the worst kind of way, which hurts the franchise's name as far as who would want to go there and play. But, you know, it's like you say, it's so frustrating. Yeah, they made the trade for Smith. Okay. But what's the big news out of Ashburn? They re-signed a kicker who missed half last season. It's madness, and it's bound to continue.
Marcus, I cannot let you besmirch the name of Dustin Hopkins, sir. It was a good call otherwise, my friend. But in fairness to the Redskins, like, this should not be a bash session. They've done nothing wrong to the start of free agency in the sense that I didn't want to spend crazy amounts of money on most of the guys who have gotten deals at this point. I wouldn't have signed Sammy Watkins. I wouldn't have given the massive contract to Andrew Norwell that he got, the guard who's going to the Jaguars. Case Keenum wasn't an option. Weston Richburg is not a guy they necessarily needed. The couple of guys I was interested in, Allen Robinson got $14 million a year, supposedly.
That's a lot.
A little bit rich for me. Trey Burton at $8 million, no thank you. Sammy Watkins, as I said, heck no. Albert Wilson, I guess. 3-24 intrigues me. I'd rather have Paul Richardson at that number. Star Lotulelei getting a 5-year deal. I'll bet you he's not going to break the bank. That's something I really would have liked. The Bills got a big defensive lineman. So let's wait and see what they do. I like that they re-signed Hopkins. I like that they got a bunch of deals done with guys like Quentin Dunbar and DeShazer Everett and Mason Foster.
Yeah, into that.
So this shouldn't just be a club them session. What I don't like, though, and this is what we were just talking about and what he was reacting to from a few minutes ago, is the attempt still to win in the court of public opinion. I feel like the player has just kind of moved on. He's about to go meet with the Vikings, and he's saying, well, I'm moving on with the rest of my life. He sent out his letter, hasn't said anything else. I don't know why so often, whether it's Lorenzo Alexander or it's, you know, it seems like the player always gets the upper hand on the Redskins because the Redskins are so busy trying to look like they won.
This is what
and it looks worse.
This is what that group talking about, Dan and Bruce, and they got nothing to do, twiddle their thumbs and count their money. This is what they spend their energy on. They're capable of signing football players and running an organization and still having practices. They're able to juggle both things. This is another example in a long line of stop wasting your time. So, for example, a couple years ago, they hired a consulting firm and made up Redskins facts and were just concerned about going out and about in the place and flying to different reservations around the country to find examples of high school mascots that were also the Redskins. You're wasting your time. Please stop focusing your time and energy on stuff that doesn't matter. Be good at football. Just focus on that at all times. Everything you do should be about winning football games, not whatever this is. Not getting a leaked source to the Washington Post to bash McLuhan, not running Mike Shanahan down and trading source barbs in various publications. Just try and win football games. It's really hard to do.
Tom in Rockville, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it. And, Danny, I know you said something around this time last year when Scott was fired that still stuck with me, and I think it's really appropriate this morning, which is that no one ever leaves Ashburn clean.
Yeah.
They're, you know, 31 other organizations in the NFL. Somehow these kind of, you know, unceremonious departures only happen to us. But I really wanted to touch on something that the previous callers and the reporter you had on yesterday said, and which is to, you know, completely disagree with the notion that Kirk's been disingenuous throughout this process. I want you guys to correct me if I'm wrong, because this is kind of my basis for arguing against a lot of the friends that I've been talking to about this issue, which is that Kirk said during your 2-hour live interview that he told the Skins that if They didn't want to come to the table for a long-term deal in 2015. He understood that. He understood that they had to do their due diligence. But on his end, on his side of the table, he wouldn't sign a long-term deal until he had an opportunity to test the market. If that's correct, all Kirk is doing is doing what he said he was going to do for the last 2 years. And whether his interest has ebbed and flowed, whether you're upset that he's leaving or not, he's kept his word for 2 years now. And I'm sorry, that's the only thing that matters to me in the context where, you know, other people are being disingenuous and misleading.
Thanks for the call, buddy. No, it's a reasonable take. And you're correct. I mean, he told the team back then when they passed up on the offer that if they started the tag game, this is kind of how it would end, with him eventually testing free agency and seeing if they could make the best offer. Before they ever got to free agency, the Redskins moved on and went and got Alex Smith. But I get the call. Thank you. I would also point out, in terms of who's being genuine and who isn't, remember when Bruce Allen called that sham of a press conference where he called up, "Hey, PJ Finley from NBC Sports Washington. Hey, Maloney, Carroll from NBC.
Come into my office.
Team
I got
partners,
some stuff.
Can I get over here?" Remember whatever that weird press conference was where he handpicked a couple reporters last year? And he said, "We made the best offer that's ever been made to a quarterback." I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But he basically said that they offered the second best guaranteed money ever. Blah,
that greedy
blah, blah.
SOB wouldn't even talk to me.
It was a 5-year contract offer that guaranteed Cousins $53 million. He's on the precipice a handful of months later of getting a 3-year deal that's going to make him $84 million. Tell me again how good your offer was, Goose. Tell me again that offer that was $30 million less than he'll make this year for another year longer, because it was 5 at the time and this is 3. Tell me again how great your offer was and how crazy he was. What a slap in the face it is that he turned it down.
Franchise tag plus transition tag gave you the exact dollar amount. They're basically saying, if we do nothing and we'll just keep tagging you, this is what you're going to earn. And we were supposed to all believe that. And a lot of people did. And that's the part that you and I get frustrated by, is that enough Redskins fans believed that blithering idiot as he stood with his handpicked press conference to spout off the team message for some unknown reason.
The calls keep coming in on Cousins. We can take them as they come in. I'm willing to just talk free agency.
That's what I want to do.
Kind of over it. I would love to just talk about Case Keenum and Allen Robinson and Trey Burton and Sammy Watkins. But you guys are setting the table and we're eating. 800-636-1067 is the number. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We've got a rundown that we just keep not being able to get into because stories keep breaking in the NFL, Redskins related and otherwise, and it's just one of those days around the National Football League.
It is, isn't it?
800-636-1067 is the number. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. You want to react to anything going on? So here is what you may have missed in the last 20 minutes. The Bears are giving tight end Trey Burton 4 years and $32 million, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Eagles have nabbed veteran defensive tackle Haloti Ngata on a 1-year agreement. Haven't yet seen how much money he'll make. He just turned 34. This could very well be the last year of his career. Maybe he's trying to go win a Super Bowl if Philly can go back-to-back getting Carson Wentz back healthy. That news was broken by Adam Schefter. That defensive line only gets stronger. Kirk Cousins has been offered 3 years, $28 million a year, fully guaranteed $84 million by the Minnesota Vikings, and apparently is going to be in Minneapolis meeting with officials, going out to dinner in the next day. As I've been saying, everything I had heard is that he expected to have, not necessarily the Vikings, but his verdict and his deal done by sometime tomorrow. He didn't want to wait. He didn't want to drag this thing out.
Right.
Of course, tomorrow is day one of free
musical
agency.
Musical chairs is happening, dude.
Paul Posluszny, linebacker with the Jaguars, retiring after 11 seasons. He was at one point in time a second-round pick by the Bills back in 2007. He is going to be remembered as a Jag, where he ended up playing 7 seasons, made a Pro Bowl in 2013, really good starter for a long time, 1,200 career tackles, 15 picks, 8 forced fumbles, Linebacker you, bro. Didn't he go to Penn State?
He certainly did.
He was a hell of a player in college. Ravens picking up cornerback Brandon Carr's option. They've exercised a 2018 team option on him. You don't see that as often in football as you do in baseball, but I like those contracts for the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people thought that Carr could be leaving. Saves them $4 million against the cap in the process. Of course, Jimmy Smith is still not known as to whether or not he's going to be healthy start of the year. Tore his Achilles late last season. And then lastly, the 49ers have added an interior lineman. This was a guy the Redskins probably had some interest in. Weston Richburg, they saw a lot of him with the Giants. 5-year agreement in San Francisco. Center last year, 15-game starter at guard as a rookie. They want to re-sign one of their interior linemen, but San Francisco isn't sure if they'll be able to, so they didn't want to wait, and they jumped on Weston Richburg.
Our pal, Diana Rossini, excuse me, Diana Marie Rossini.
DMR, as we call
it. DMR. You can't say her name without the middle name at this point. Reached out to sources with the Jets. If they don't get Cousins, which it sounds like it's not going to happen, Cousins is on his way to Minnesota for din-din and a training facility visit, then they'll turn their attention to Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater to the New York Jets.
And the handcuff to Bridgewater is that they would then draft the quarterback.
Right.
I almost guarantee that.
That would kind of ensure that, wouldn't it?
I think they pick at 6. Isn't that right?
I thought they were 5, but I think it's the same difference.
So either with that pick or they move up, they take a quarterback. I would rather just keep Josh McCown for another season than Teddy Bridgewater, although Bridgewater has a lot more upside. But the way
they're at 6, you're right. Yep.
They're 6. The way that they're constructed right now, it doesn't matter who their placeholder is, because like the Browns, you go out and get Tyrod Taylor, he gets you through the season. It's about whoever you draft being the right guy.
So if Denver goes Keenan, which it sounds like is about to happen, I think they're back in play to draft somebody, wouldn't you think?
Yes, however, they would less have a necessity to draft their franchise quarterback that would play early next season. Keenum, to me, is a guy they could start for 2 years. Tyrod Taylor's not that guy right now, moving over to Cleveland. And I don't think Teddy Bridgewater, coming off his injury, would be that guy with the Jets. I don't think Keenum's in the exact same boat as those other guys. I'm going to get you. He gets up around 20, 21 million bucks a year. We still haven't seen the number on him.
It's a pretty big pay raise. 10 times what he made last year.
He's on that Kirk Cousins ascension in terms of 1 year making nothing, the next year being paid at,
like
at a
$650,000 to $20 million.
Let's go to Matt in Gainesville on Grant and Danny. Matt, what do you got?
Matthias.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, 10th-time caller. Happy day before free agency day.
Day!
Hey, I just wanted to get you guys' perspective on this. I am really, Danny, I was just hearing your rant about it. I just want you guys to focus on football, be good at football. And for 20 years or so, I've been in the same boat. But I think over the last season, maybe two, Scott McLuhan's departure hit me hard, that I've kind of given up on the Redskins actually being good. My new high bar for what I want to get out of my relationship with the team is just entertainment. At one point, I didn't want them to be on Hard Knocks because that might have a negative impact on our season.
Right.
At this point, I just want them to be on Hard Knocks because that would be the highlight of the season, i.e. this past season, the highlight was DJ Swearinger hitting Marshawn Lynch and laying him out. And that was the best thing that happened all season long for me because I'm no longer interested in them winning. I've been emotionally abused. And I just wonder, is this the right way to go about it? Should I keep my expectations into the entertainment area only, or should I still be hoping for a winner?
Well, they're not going to give you any choice. And that's kind of the frustration part of this thing. And thanks for the call, bro. I appreciate it. I mean, if our threshold was just don't embarrass me, that's where I'm at, by the way, as a Redskins fan. Now, just please stop embarrassing me. Please stop being the laughingstock of the NFL. Please stop doing things that make it so players don't want to come here, that executives don't want to come here, that you can't be fixed. Please stop pretending you know better when you haven't won in almost 30 years. That's my expectation. That's my hope at this point. And I get crashed every year, usually right around this time, by the way, when some kind of incident happens, as it's happened here over the last few weeks. You should still hope for wins, though, but if you're setting your expectations to where you're talking about, maybe entertain me every so often. I guess that's a sad state of the union here for the Washington Redskins and their fans.
And I don't think it's quite as dire as he makes it out to be. Like, the McLuhan loss, while annoying and frustrating, was a bigger PR debacle than it was probably a massive setback.
To me, it was in principle was the problem.
Correct. And it was a big setback because you didn't replace him with another former GM who's been around the block as a longtime proven talent evaluator.
Bruce's buddy who played in the Super Bowl in 87.
Right. I mean, he just kind of said, Doug Williams. When you bash Kirk Cousins to your friend Tom Friend, it's going to be a lot harder for people to be mad at you because you won a Super Bowl that one time. So why don't you become the face of this thing? Luckily, you got Eric Schaefer doing a lot of the heavy lifting. You got a guy like Kyle Smith, and you got some really good people that work in that building still. who do know what they're doing. But that, to me, was the bigger issue. It was not the moving on from McLuhan as much as it was, okay, what's next? Normally, you fire a GM, you go get a John Dorsey. Or right away, you bring in a Dave Gettleman.
It was unthinkable for Green Bay to go more than an hour without a GM. They go, don't worry, we have a plan in place. Their fans were panicked when they moved on from their current GM. They go, don't worry, fans, we will get you a new GM, lickety-split.
Squeeze in Damian and Jersey, been waiting a while, and then we'll get to our double play in a couple minutes. What's up, Damian?
Hey, Damian.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Sorry, so I'll try to make a couple points really quick. My wife, she works in a company that's very close partners with the Redskins. So I've been around the Redskins in very social settings, not like a very fan-heavy kind of setting. Got to know a lot of players on the team. And from my observations from Cousins over the last couple of years, not a big fan of his. You know, I mean, Jay Gruden, all the coaches, all the players, like I've been in settings with them, with my children, where it wasn't a pressure setting. Like, it wasn't like there's a bunch of fans leaning over a railing trying to get signatures or anything. He just wasn't that friendly. My other point, so I'm not that upset that he's leaving. My other point is I was at the Redskins-Giants game 2 years ago, and I sat directly in front of Dan Snyder's booth with Joe Gibbs and Dan Snyder were in the booth. They were, like, within maybe 10 feet of me. When he fumbled the snap before halftime in the Giants, that meaningless for the Giants game. Mm-hmm. We needed it to go into the playoffs, and the Giants didn't need anything. When he fumbled that snap right before halftime, Dan Snyder threw something in that box and never returned. Joe Gibbs and Dan Snyder never returned to that box.
I got to tell you something. It's not the first time Dan Snyder's thrown something in his box, and it won't be the last. He gets angry a lot. He should have gotten angry. His team lost to a bad Giants team that day.
And that play was terrible, by the way, that you're referencing. Yeah. And so was that game. The game was terrible. It was awful.
Yeah.
And the Redskins couldn't get over that loss. I need them to, by the way. I need the Redskins to be the grown-ups.
You'll have to forgive me for not believing what a guy I've never met said he thought about Cousins based on a couple of social interactions at events. But I'm not going to base my assessments on him on that. But I do appreciate the phone call.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
If you like to weigh in, you're welcome to it, 800-636-1067. We're going to talk Ovechkin's 600th goal with Alan May at 1 o'clock, the big one today. No one's keeping you better up to speed on all the NFL goings-on than we are on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We are just 10 minutes away from a Beltway Blitz on the teams in town you care the most about. Big night for the Capitals as Alex Ovechkin scored the 600th goal of his Hall of Fame career. Wizards have been idle for a couple of days. That changes. We look ahead at their schedule. College hoops on the mind as well. The Nationals in spring training. There's a lot we could cover in the Beltway Blitz.
Daniel Murphy taking BP on the field.
Finally, Daniel Murphy has come back to batting practice.
Mike Rizzo said that he thinks there's an outside shot he could be ready for opening day. I was very surprised that that was the case.
I'm going to say that won't happen.
I hope it doesn't happen. Rest, Daniel, rest.
Blitz at noon. Let's get to our double play. I'll make mine short. I'll make mine sweet. I can't wait for tomorrow. Here is my plan for tomorrow.
Go.
Free agency starts. Ideally, we will talk about football for 4 straight hours tomorrow on the show. And we can't actually do that because there's other things we have to do. But I would like to do nothing but just have Thom get Sounders ready for breaking news and the Fox Sports anthem and all these things, Fox NFL Sunday. And every couple of seconds, we fire that sucker off and we talk about football. Yeah, I want to hear this every time something happens. I'm going to leave here at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I might set a record for how fast I leave here. I might be out the door at 1:59:50. I'm going to be in my car, and I'm going to be on my way to, guess where?
Yard House, probably?
Yard House.
Yeah.
I will pull up at Yard House at 2:27 tomorrow afternoon. I will post up by asking them not for a seat at the bar. No, not comfortable enough. Not for a high top, but I will take one of their luxurious booths that seat 4 to 6. I will get prime real estate. Looking right at a high-definition flat screen where I can see both NFL Network and ESPN. And I will eat Maui Pineapple Chicken.
Mr. Maui Pineapple Chicken.
By 3 o'clock, I'll eat chicken lettuce wraps by 3:30. Might get a plate of shrimp by 4. I'm going to have to order one of everything healthy on that menu.
Mm.
I'm going to overeat, but I'm going to stay to the EMP 180 weight loss program, and I will be at that bar until about 6 p.m. tomorrow night. That is my plan.
And you will, in the process, upset at least one waitress by sitting on a booth for the entire afternoon.
That is a Tom C. block. There's no doubt about that. However, what I would give you is I'll tip well at the end. Okay? Now,
It's not enough.
I'm not going to drop a Clinton Portis, like $150 bill on an $18 tab.
Here's a big tip, Kenny Andrew.
My bill, that's a good bit. My bill's probably going to be, if I get a Maui pineapple chicken, chicken lettuce wraps, unsweet iced tea.
Yep.
Over under $60.
So now I'm in the mid-40s right there before tip. I think what I'll do is I'll probably add shrimp later because I'm literally going to be there for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So I would say my bill, Thommy, is going to be right around $60. Okay? I'll leave a hundo. That's what I'll do. If I sit there for 3.5 hours, now, I don't want everyone to think I'm some tough guy who does this all the time. I don't do that at all.
Well, you are Mr. Maui Pineapple Chicken. There's a societal expectation.
But if my bill is over 60 and I sit there and take up her table for 3.5 hours, I will leave her $30 to $40 tip.
Grant, I just need to know something real quick. Are you going to order those delicious Brussels sprouts or no?
Darn, how good are the Brussels sprouts?
So I just need to confess this because I...
Get it off your chest.
I made fun of you a lot for eating the same thing every time you went to this restaurant. And then I saw what it looked like.
It's really good.
And what it smelled like.
Isn't that annoying?
And it looked amazing. It smelled amazing. Jack Hicks said it's the best chicken he's ever had.
He did. Jack Hicks loved it. By the way, Jack Hicks, how much did he over talk about how much chicken it was? He didn't finish the Maui pineapple chicken.
That's outrageous.
No, he still had half a breast of chicken.
It's unbelievable. But did you eat any of the Brussels?
Yeah, I had some of the Brussels. You and I were the only ones touching them, and they were great.
One of those like a share for the table side?
Correct. And it's not a healthy Brussels for the record.
Right.
This is a candy-esque fried Brussels. Mm-hmm. There's some potatoes and sauce in there.
A little bit of bacon.
Now, I stayed away from the potatoes because I can't have potatoes.
Right.
But, man, Brussels good. For the most part.
I mean, if it ends up on a fork, what are you going to do? Shake it off?
You want me to pull the potato off, Dar?
That's crazy.
Huh?
No, I want you to eat the potato.
Eat the potato.
It's a delicious potato.
Eat the potato.
I want you guys to know, Thommy, you're invited to Maui Pineapple Chicken House tomorrow if you want to come. Dar, you're invited. Now, I know that this is Springfield. This is out of the way. Anything you want on the menu, my treat to watch free agency with your guy. Danny, you're invited, even though you hate fun.
Very kind, yeah.
You're probably not going to come?
No, I just hate Springfield. But other than that, I would love to be
there. Is it the parking lot or just how delicious the food is? What do you hate
more? Possibility of
or the roads.
Is it the fact that the roads go in both directions at all times that you hate so much, Danny?
There's a lot of stopped suburban shop strip mall traffic. That's not for me. I could leave at 2 from my place and get there at like 5:15, 5:30 and meet you as you're
I'm sure you couldn't do it in 20 minutes.
No.
Guy, what's your double play?
You know what? I don't have time for it. And I'm not mad at you. No. I'm not being a jerk.
It seems like you're being a little bit of a jerk. No,
this is a good conversation. I want to take this into tomorrow. This one requires a little bit of time. It's about something you don't care about at all.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
What like give me a tease.
The Home Box Office Network.
HBO?
HBO.
Why don't I care about that?
You specifically don't care about that.
Game of Thrones.
I'm not saying anything about anything. I'm just saying you specifically don't care.
Then it's definitely Game of Thrones.
It is and it isn't, if that makes any sense.
Really?
It is and also it isn't.
What if I can't sleep tonight waiting for the big double play tomorrow?
Well, you're going to be so full that you'll sleep just fine,
I'll give you a hint. It is and you will care way less than you actually would about Game of Thrones.
You're kidding.
I don't think we could find more of a niche audience than what we have for Danny's double play tomorrow.
You think so?
That's really funny.
It's the number one show in the world. And on a subscription service, 20 million people a week watch it.
20? Guy, we've looked this up before. It was 7. How did it just become 20?
That was 20. 3 years ago. Yeah, now it's like 20.
Yeah, it's,
I'll take the under on like, 20 million.
Well, you being correct. Like everything else, update your file. You should continue to update your file, as in more foods are delicious. But that's another double play for another time. So on all platforms, it's about 20 million a week, and it's a massive. It's one of the most incredible shows in history.
How many people watch Game of Thrones? First thing I found, 16 million people watched last night, which is great, by the way.
Which is live, and then
making
all the
it
other
the
things.
Show's most watched episode. The premiere of Game of Thrones 7th season had 10 million viewers.
So then they go with the various online platforms, replays, and everything else. People don't watch it live. The DVR live and box score
numbers. Well, by those numbers, we've got like a million podcast listeners. If it's just whenever someone's ever listened to the show on a podcast for a minute, right? That's not a viewer. No, is that how we're doing it now?
Yeah. Just, again, for a premium channel that costs extra money on cable bills, it's remarkable that it's that mainstream and successful. It's not your regular cable like an AMC or anything else. You got to pay an extra $10, sometimes more, per month.
Do you want to wait till the double play tomorrow, or do you want to lead it off at 10 a.m.? Are you going to be antsy?
No, it's double play. Okay. I'm perfectly fine.
We're good?
I'm not jonering for anything like my pineapple chicken. I'm good.
Are you coming to Yard House tomorrow?
No.
I'm going to keep working on you. I'll bet I'll get you betting by the end of the day.
No way.
I'm going to get you betting.
No way, man. You're on.
I don't know how. 2-1 odds, huh? Grant and Danny on the fan. Let's go blitzing next.
Harry, I took care of it because I went to my guys at Tedbert Ford. Go see them. Do what I did. Make the greatest decision I have ever made. It's basically one, like agreeing the idea that it was good to marry my wife. Number two, going to Tedbert Ford. That's kind of the rankings here. Go see them. They're the best. My wife's driving the 2016 Ford Edge. It's awesome. We love that car. I got a 2017 Ford Fusion. You can get one of those Ben Jacksons just like your pals, except the 2018 version, just $150 a month on a lease deal. Or you can buy one for up to 20% off the MSRP. Let me just add a personal note, Tommy, on this thing with the Ford Fusion. I got it in March of last year. In fact, the date I got it is coming up here on my one-year anniversary of having a Ford Fusion. I've gotten gas five times. Think about that kind of value. You're already getting it for $150 a month, or you could buy it for 20% off the MSRP. It's paying for itself in me not stopping at the gas pump. I love that car. You'll love everything about the experience at Tedbert Ford. Or how about $150 a month on a lease deal or up to 20% off the MSRP on an Escape? That's a starter SUV kit. It's a small one, sleek fit, because of that parallel parking. Go see my guys at Tedbert Ford. What do you do? Please tell me.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.